Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome. Come on in. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to A World Powerfully Transformed. We have a special guest this morning. It's James Kirshner. He's a returning guest and a Buddhist practitioner. I want to welcome you back to the show, James.
Thank you. Good morning, Tony.
I'm so happy that you're here today. Just as a little background, James is part of the Unity community, but he's also the leader of the Cape Sangha, a Buddhist meditation group that meets right here every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. And we're so happy to have you in the building and your group and the energy that you bring to this place.
So, well, we're really grateful to have a sacred place in which to meet.
Yeah, well, it works both ways then. I feel we are blessed by your presence as well. So today, James, what I want to talk about basically is why is Buddhism your chosen path? How did you come to find this as your path?
Well, it's tied up very closely with my late teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh. And when I first met Thich Nhat Hanh back in 1997, I knew I had found my teacher. And he made everything simple, and it just made sense to me. And he brought everything down to the basics, the first teachings of the Buddha were the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, and they really resonated with me.
Excellent, excellent. I know a lot of folks have come to Buddhism, but also what we call mindfulness through Thich Nhat Hanh. Is that part of your practice? Could you talk about a little about mindfulness and how that has come to us to the West here?
Yes, actually, I'm teaching a class at the Academy for Lifelong Learning down at Cape Cod Community College called Mindfulness and Meditation.
Wow, and excellent.
They're closely related, but not the same. Mindfulness, according to Jon Kabat-Zinn, one of the primary advocates, he says it's paying attention on purpose without judgment as if your life depended on it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Especially the last part.
Yes.
As if your life depended on it.
Because in a way it does. If you practice mindfulness, it can extend your life. It improves your health and well-being, lowers your blood pressure, and lowers stress hormones.
Nice.
So, mindfulness is a wonderful practice. And you can do mindfulness while walking or running or doing other tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the primary things to do with mindfulness is to use it in the practice of meditation, which is a physical practice of sitting down in a quiet place and sitting quietly and noticing what's going on in your mind. And if possible, redirect your mind to something basic like your breath.
Nice.
So mindfulness meditation is paying attention to your breath.
Excellent, excellent. So you're teaching this now at the community college?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Have you started yet with the new classes?
I've done the first of six classes, and the second class will be this afternoon.
Excellent, excellent. Is this just for college students, or is this adult education?
It's the Academy for Lifelong Learning, so it's adult education for senior citizens.
Excellent. I'm going to get on that. I'm getting on board with that one.
Yes.
Yeah. We do talk a lot about meditation here at Unity, and I know that we have several modalities of meditation, but the thing that you just said seems to intersect with our philosophy a lot, is to notice what's going on in your mind and redirect your mind. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, chances are if you sit down quietly and try to meditate, the next thing you know, you're going to be wondering, gee, what's for dinner tonight? Why did I have that for breakfast this morning? Why did I have an argument with my high school girlfriend 50 years ago? Your mind will go crazy, and that's just a sign that you're human.
Yes.
And if you notice that and say to yourself, okay, I'm thinking now, instead of that, pay attention to my breath. Breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. And
yeah,
you'll be meditating before you know it.
Nice.
Now, I should mention, you don't want to make your mind blank. Nobody can ever make their mind blank unless they're dead. So that's an unreasonable goal. So just be aware that your mind's going to be thinking, and just purposely redirect it to your breath.
So if you're just focused on your breath, on your experience during meditation, that experience, you're saying, is a kind of thought?
Yes, it is. But it's sort of giving your mind a part-time job instead of this full-time job of stressful worry.
So paying attention is the way to direct our minds.
Right, and paying attention in the present moment as opposed to the past or the future.
Ah, yes.
Living in the past can cause depression. Living in the future can cause anxiety. Living in the present moment can cause happiness.
I love it. I love it. I love the idea of causing happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. So let's go back to Jon Kabat-Zinn. Paying attention in the moment as if your life depended on it. Oh, without judgment.
Without judgment. That's very important.
So let's go back to that, because we talk a lot in A Course in Miracles about releasing our judgments and forgiving. And yet, if we don't have some kind of a practice, I find our judgments come back from the subconscious when we least expect it. So how can we deal with those judgments?
Well, you're right. The judgments are going to come up. It's only natural, only human. But you can say to yourself, oh, I'm judging now. And just notice that and pay attention to it. And sometimes you can purposely let go of that judgment.
That's excellent. I know that there's a school of thought that you can replace those thoughts of judgment with thoughts of appreciation, thoughts of learning, thoughts of healing, thoughts of why has this come to me now? What has this come to teach me? Is there any of that involved in mindfulness, mindful replacement of your judgments?
Definitely. The Buddha told a story called Replacing the Peg. Back in his day, they used to build houses out of wood with wooden pegs. And sometimes one of those pegs would rot out. And to replace it, you simply take a new fresh peg and you pound it in where the old one was. And so replacing the peg is sort of like what you do when you replace your thoughts with calmer thoughts.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that. And that's a wonderful analogy.
Yeah.
What a great story. Replace the peg. So if I have a peg of judgment, I just notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I'm judging now.
Right.
Instead of perhaps what I might tend to do is judge myself for judging and then make myself a bad person for judging.
You're not a bad person.
So what kind of pegs, I'm thinking mentally from the heart perhaps, what kind of pegs can we use instead of saying, this judgment is bad. I'm bad for judging. I'm not a good person. What would you suggest one can do when they find themselves judging, noticing themselves judging?
The main plan is to replace it with awareness of your breath. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out.
Okay.
But also you can be aware of things going on in the present moment, noticing that, gee, that's a beautiful piece of stained glass next to me. I'm among friends in a beautiful place. Right here in the present moment, everything is all right. And so much of my stress and worry is caused by things that haven't happened yet or that already happened a long time ago. So if the peg can be in the present moment instead of the future or the past, that'll help.
This is excellent. I'm really getting a lot from this conversation. I remember reading a lot in Unity, and still do, about the subconscious and putting thoughts into the subconscious from the truth, from your higher self, from the superconscious. And to me, that feels like replacing the peg.
Yes.
I feel like there are experiences that need to be connected to the truth, you know, the conceptual truth, in order to replace that peg in your subconscious. Is this one of the benefits you find in meditation?
Yes, I find if I'm feeling stressed out and worrying about the future or the past, and I practice meditation, I can redirect my thoughts to the present moment. And it's amazing how often the present moment is perfectly enjoyable. There's nothing wrong at all.
Yeah.
And
I'm feeling it. Yeah. I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah,
this
good
feels
present
good.
Moment.
We're
present
in the
moment,
present
beautiful
moment.
Beautiful moment.
Awesome. I love that, because the teachings of A Course in Miracles say that everything is in the present moment and that nothing is going wrong. There's no sin. There's no hell. There's no death. There's no sickness. There's no pain. It's all here now is goodness and God. And what I do from the human standpoint, or from the, let's say, unhealthier, unhealed human standpoint, is bring the past into the future and skip the present moment altogether.
That's not healthy.
So, but I feel like this is the great preoccupation of the human species at the time, is living in the past or fearing the future. And it's very interesting how it seems like it's speeding up. With our technology and what's going on in TV and in society, it seems like that process of just going from past to future and missing the present moment is sort of speeding up. Do you think that's true, or am I just being pessimistic?
Yes, all those YouTube videos were recorded in the past. They're not really happening in the present moment.
So everyone listening to this podcast, can they listen to it in the present moment?
Yes.
Okay. So this is interesting. We can actually, this is what I'm getting to. How can we use, instead of trying to subvert the process, how can we use the speeding up of evolution to expand the present moment?
Well, I think we now have access to wonderful teachers, some of which were in the past, but they can give us good advice about living in the present moment. And 2,000 years ago, in order to hear the words of the Buddha, you had to be in his physical presence. But now we can hear the words of the Buddha and 2,000 years of subsequent teachers just by clicking on our cell phone or our computers and or reading one of thousands of books.
Yes, I hear you.
So so much is available to us now.
Yeah. I find that some folks can get overloaded with the intellectual absorption of material.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I find meditation so important. People think I'm working in my office all day, and a lot of the time I'm meditating.
Good for you.
Or I'm taking time out to allow spirit to guide me. And I feel like this is a very important step in spiritual practice, because we learn all these things intellectually, we learn all the concepts, but I feel like the practice is very important. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yes, definitely. One thing I really like about Unity is at the beginning of every service, somebody says, wherever you are in your spiritual path, you're welcome here. And I feel like that's directed right to me.
Yes.
It's a very welcoming message.
That's excellent. So as a Buddhist, you feel welcome at Unity.
Yes.
That's incredible. I know a lot of my Jewish friends feel welcome here, mm-hmm. and also the Christian community. A lot of former Catholics frequent and Unity and our members here. We have a couple of atheists who absolutely love Unity. It's a universal message.
Yes.
Do you find that there's an experience here that cuts through the separate theologies, the separate, establishment of religious and spiritual life?
Yes, you definitely cut through those differences and emphasize the similarities. But just last Sunday, you quoted Thich Nhat Hanh in your Sunday message, and that spoke to me. He was saying the enlightenment is when the wave realizes it's the ocean.
Yes. Yes. I find his teachings very similar, not just similar, but at the core, the same as the Fillmores or Eric Butterworth or any of the older Unity teachers, Emily, Katie, perhaps. There are places where our paths intersect. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding it, especially in the modern era, very important. It's necessary to find that core experience and to offer a place where we can have that experience together. I guess my question in all of this is, how do we get to the place where we understand that our life depends on it? That's, for me, a very pertinent and burning question in my mind.
And I think if one does not have a spiritual element in their life, it's hardly a life worth living.
Mm. Wow. You
know, that the spiritual element is what makes life happy.
Wow.
The Buddha taught that there's suffering in this world, and that there's a way to overcome the suffering through the Eightfold Path. And that includes living a spiritual life and meditating.
Yes. And speaking about meditation and mindfulness, they kind of intersect.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about that? Where do they intersect?
Well, mindfulness, paying attention on purpose in the present moment without judgment, can be a technique for doing anything. You could play chess mindfully. In fact, you're not going to win unless you do. And I used to be a runner, and I would run mindfully, practicing mindfulness, living right there in the present moment.
Excellent.
And then there's one type of mindfulness practice that's mindfulness meditation. And that's when you're sitting quietly, not saying anything, not doing anything. Well, I shouldn't say not doing anything. You're doing something very important. But you calm yourself and redirect your mind to the present moment. where you're breathing in and breathing out. And that's a form of mindfulness that can be very healing and transformative.
Excellent. I think in Unity, we make the distinction of inner and outer world, whereas the mindful meditation seems to be paying attention on the inner world.
Yes.
What's going on within you. So, James, this is amazing. I just love getting together with you and talking about these things and, more importantly, practicing them. And as you were speaking about mindfulness, I was realizing this morning as I was cutting up vegetables, not vegetables, sorry, I was cutting fruit. And I noticed that each strawberry and each banana, each blueberry had its own shape and size and texture and, I thought, personality. I was looking at the tomatoes I grew in the garden, and they're all different. Yeah. They're organic gardening, so they all grow misshapen, and they're beautiful, different colors. And as I just allowed myself to engage with the food I was preparing, I noticed each fruit, and you might think I'm a little fruity for saying this, but each fruit has its own personality.
Sure.
Has its own expression, its own life. And yet, it's all part, it all becomes part of this wonderful experience when you bring it all together. And I feel the same with our spiritual paths, that each path has its own personality. Each person has its own unique expression of the divine within them. And this is something I feel is so important in Unity. Do you find, I'm not familiar with the Buddhists' teachings, but is there any kind of emphasis on individuality?
No, the Buddha de-emphasized individuality. One of the basic principles of Buddhism is non-self.
Okay.
We are not separate individuals. We are part of the whole. And the things I inherited from my ancestors and my teachers and the influences that came into my life and the things I've ingested, mm-hmm. All have such a great contribution to who I am that leaves very little room for a separate individual self. Mm-hmm. So the Buddha talked about non-self.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you. And we talk a lot about the one self, the divine self, the Christ self, the God self as being one thing. And yet, as a human being, my individual experience or expression of the divine, although it is changing each and every day to return to oneness, I find needs to be expressed through this personality, which is, you know, an illusion in itself, but for some reason needs to be given back to the Christ or the, what do you call it, Buddha nature?
Yes.
Yeah, given over to your Buddha nature to be expressed in the world at this time and in this place. I just feel like that's an important part of it. Is I'm just wondering, is there a place where this intersects, this sense of individual Christ or Buddha, becoming Buddha, and the non-self, the God self?
I think we only become a Buddha when we let go of the self.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. All right, then. Well, I got to say that that's the top of the teaching right there. Mm-hmm. And in your mindfulness, in your meditation, are you able to look at or notice when you're letting go of the self?
I've experienced it occasionally, but it's usually when I'm not trying.
Okay, yeah.
There was this one time when I was a professor, and a student came to me who was in opioid withdrawal. She had been addicted to opioids, and she needed help. And I did all these amazing things and ended up convincing her to go to the hospital and working with the doctors and everything like that. And at the end of it, I felt like I did something above and beyond my ordinary self and was...
Yes.
Well, actually, what I said at the time was I was God.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I was acting as God. I helped this person so much.
Yes.
Through extraordinary effort.
I find that happens to me all the time. People come to me in crisis or something needs to happen, and I have no idea how to do it. And I just surrender myself to the Spirit, and I feel the Spirit working through me or speaking through me all the time. And if that's an indication of surrendering to the non-self, I like it.
Well, you're very good at it then.
Maybe surrender is part of the process. Surrender of, like, what you're saying is individuality. There's, in unity, there's two things. They talk about, personality and individuality. So the separate person is something that's trying to keep itself alive through conflict with the rest of the universe. But the individuality, the individual Christ self, is trying to merge with everything. It's the wave that knows it's the ocean, but still performs as the wave mm-hmm. in the world. So I'm still performing as a apparent separate being, but I'm performing, as you said, as God, as Spirit, a spiritual being. So I'm just really grateful that there are people like you around.
And well, I'm grateful there are people like you around, Tony.
we're blessed here at Unity. We have a great community here on Cape Cod of spiritual people and practitioners, and I'm just really, really grateful for the intersection of where Buddhism intersects with Unity teachings, and just looking forward to learning and experiencing more in your presence. So you have your Sangha every Sunday here?
4:30.
4:30 p.m. You're also teaching mindfulness meditation?
Yes, the Academy for Lifelong Learning.
That's amazing. Just thank you for all of that. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you and experiencing more in your presence as we move forward. I want to thank everybody today for joining us here at Unity on Cape Cod for a world powerfully transformed. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.